Today, we are cracking open a major, major strategic framework, one that's really reshaping land restitution settlements. It's the Policy on the Application of the Rural Economy Transformation Model, or the RETM.
That's right.
And if you're part of a community or maybe direct descendants who've opted for land restoration or a grant of state land, this is basically your playbook. We're going to try and unpack it quickly so you know what you're required to build.
And that context is so important. You have to see this as a really critical shift. For years, I mean, think about it, from 1994 to around 2009, the whole conversation was about the quantity of land. How many hectares?
Just the numbers, yeah.
Exactly. The RETM turns that on its head. It says, you know, just handing over the land isn't enough. We have to prioritize the quality of the institutions built on that land for any kind of sustainable development.
So it's not just the asset, it's the structure around the asset.
Precisely. The policy actually calls this agrarian transformation, and That's a very strong term. It means a rapid and fundamental change in everything. Land ownership, livestock, cropping, even the community itself. That's the core idea here.
Wow, rapid and fundamental. Okay, so how does a transformation that big actually get executed? Are there like mandatory steps in the framework?
There are. There are two mandatory stages. And they can, in theory, happen at the same time. Stage one is all about the mechanics of ownership and control, the custodial side.
Okay, so that's stage one, governance and restoration. This is where the right in the land is formally restored.
Yes.
And the community has to establish the legal structure that will hold that land. So a communal property association, a trust.
Or a traditional council in some cases.
Right. And the main takeaway here for you listening is that this governance structure has one overriding principle, ensuring every single member has fair, non-discriminatory access to that land.
Which is why the democratic process is baked right in.
Exactly. It requires these high thresholds, like a 60% quorum of households, to make huge decisions, like electing leaders. It's about informed choice.
But then, as soon as those rights are settled, you move into stage two, development on restored land. And this is where it gets really interesting.
This is the business side of things.
This is the business side. This stage is all about creating a separate legal entity, a development structure. This could be a commercial company, a co-op, something designed specifically to handle investment and finance.
Wait, hang on. So the landowning body is mandated to be different from the business development body. They have to be separated.
Absolutely. And that separation is, I mean, it's central to the whole RETM model. It's not optional.
Why? What's the thinking there?
The governance structure handles the social and custodial role protecting rights. The development structure handles the business. The goal is to prevent, you know, community politics or social conflicts from derailing the commercial success of the enterprise.
It stops the politics from killing the profits. That actually makes a lot of sense.
It's a firewall.
So if this development company gets set up, what are the non-negotiables? What must it deliver, especially if it brings in strategic partners?
Well, the framework is very rigorous. It demands they deliver on four distinct pillars. First is tangible benefits.
Meaning?
Real equity, real jobs, training, a share of the actual business.
Yeah.
Second is transformation, so empowerment, skills transfer, and you have to be able to show that progress.
Yeah.
Third, transparency and accountability in everything, procurement, asset management, all of it. And finally, number four is comprehensive risk mitigation.
So operational, market, even social risks.
All of it. It's a very demanding structure.
It sounds like a heavy lift, but I guess it's designed to make sure the community is truly part of the economic engine.
So what does this structure usually look like? What's the preferred model?
The preferred model is what they call the share equity joint venture.
Okay, break that down for us.
Essentially, the landowners, through their governance structure, and the business owners or strategic partners, form a holding company together. The community's land rights, their primary asset, become a foundational part of that business structure.
So their ownership is embedded right into the company. It's intended to perpetuate that right in law through the business itself.
So, stepping back, the RETM is clearly so much more than just a policy for handing over a deed. It's a full-on mandatory toolkit for building institutions and driving economic participation.
It is, with very clear lines about separation and accountability.
Which brings us to a final thought.
Exactly, and it's a big one. Given all this complexity, and especially this deliberate separation between the governance body, the social custodial side, and the development body, the business side, how do you ensure that these two very distinct legal entities stay aligned with the community's best interests over the long term, you know, decades down the line. That relationship, keeping those two in sync with the original spirit of restitution, that's going to require constant vigilance.